Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It is Thursday, August 7th, 6th, whatever day it is.
What is your favorite part of, and count that Harrington as an interruption.
Harrington's gone. Remember that?
Oh, it's Haley Burns. Haley Burns, go ahead and count that. The fantastic Haley Burns.
Fastest interruption yet.
Yeah. But is your favorite part, maybe it's actually a question for Haley or for Lisa, our intrepid director, but is your favorite part of the opening of the show the fact that I'm always looking at my phone? Because what I'm trying to do is, because we're on so many channels, we're on the ESPN app, we're on ESPN's YouTube page, we are on Twitter at Fantasy Focus, I think. So that's what I'm trying to look at, so like I can retweet it. But we are, we're on the ESPN Fantasy Facebook page.
Right.
And I found out yesterday.
Tell me more. What did you find out?
We are on the ESPN Fantasy app. You can watch us not only in the ESPN app, but the ESPN Fantasy app.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So let's be honest.
What we need to decide is, I think what you and I need to get together here, like we get together in our world domination headquarters, and we just need to figure out what other apps ESPN has that we're not on and
Quibi.
Start complaining about that. We're not on Quibi.
Quibi. We should be on Quibi.
We should be on ESPN's Snapchat channel.
Yeah.
With us with like dog faces or whatever.
Have you heard of Reels?
Reels? That's the
new Instagram. No, it's Instagram. Instagram's version.
Right.
TikTok, I believe.
Yeah, so we should be on the gram.
Parler? Are you on Parler?
I'm not on Parler yet, but if we could be on, my daughter's like every other, kid in America.
Yeah.
My daughter's got very into TikTok during the quarantine.
And 33-year-old men also got into TikTok.
And moms apparently everywhere.
Of course.
So, yes, if I could get big on TikTok, that would be my kids do not care at all about anything I do.
Right.
But if I could get big on TikTok, that would be impressive to them.
All right, so everybody go follow at Matthew Berry TMR on TikTok. We've got huge show today, and I'm not saying that out of hyperbole. I think it's really fun. We've got Lamar Jackson to be discussed. We do Double Trouble covering the Ravens. And also the Joe Burrow-led Bengals. So excited to talk about Burrow in just a minute. And good news is that we have Daniel back today to help us out and make it through the show. Oh, wait, hold on. Is that... Daniel has shrunk quite a bit, and he now has no beard.
Or tattoos.
And he has a sign at the bottom of his feet that says Coach Mariucci. Oh, that's right. Daniel has been replaced by a Steve Mariucci bobblehead. Love Mooch, and one of the great personalities the NFL has seen in quite some time. So, more seriously, Daniel is still dealing with, as hundreds of thousands of people are in Connecticut and around the region, no power, so we hope he gets back soon. We will have Stefania coming up on the show.
No power, no water.
Oh.
Managed to make it in, though, second day. Just saying, no big deal.
You're a little odorous. BD. Not going to lie.
Look, I showered here at the ESPN facilities. I got myself pretty here to the extent that I can. I mean, I don't have much to work with, let's be clear. But
yourself.
No, but Daniel, honestly, Daniel has, I mean, it's for me, it was just dry. I just don't have power or water. Daniel, like, literally has massive trees and power lines down around his house. Like he would be risking life and limb to come into work.
Yeah, so we hope to have Daniel back maybe tomorrow, maybe Monday. We'll find out, but good luck to him and everybody else.
Secret squirrel.
Dealing with power issues right now. Let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens, Matthew.
Sure.
14-2 last year, the talk of the NFL during the regular season. Lamar Jackson was the clear-cut number one quarterback in fantasy football last year. He might have been the fantasy football's MVP. He averaged 27.71. Well, Christian McCaffrey certainly could have been the NFL, the fantasy MVP.
I guess so. I mean, I just feel like McCaffrey was a first rounder last year, and Lamar Jackson was like a 13th.
Sure, I think there's a conversation to be had, just because it would have been easier to have. Yeah, let's rehash 2019 right now.
2019, off the rails.
But
Lamar Jackson was all that and a bag of chips.
He certainly was.
As the kids say.
And so the philosophical question that we're going to have about Lamar Jackson is not debating the merits of him as a fantasy superstar. It's not about whether he's going to continue to become a better player year over year. None of that stuff. It's the same conversation we had last year surrounding Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Lamar Jackson's probably going to be the first quarterback taken in almost every draft that you're a part of. But the question is, how early should he go? And it's not that you are drafting Lamar Jackson with the expectation of him being the best fantasy quarterback this year. It's that last year, the gap between Lamar Jackson and the second best quarterback in fantasy football last year was 6.3 points per game. That was greater than the difference between quarterback 2 and quarterback 23. So if you are drafting Lamar Jackson early, you're paying the premium for him to be leaps and bounds better than the next best quarterback.
To that point, I've just to put some names there, just so people understand what you're talking about here, like just how much better he was. Lamar Jackson was better than Deshaun Watson. There was a greater margin in terms of points per game between Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson than there was between Deshaun Watson and Derek Carr.
Insane.
Like, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. When Lamar Jackson just was dominant and like we haven't seen before. And so the question obviously becomes like, okay, what comes up must come down, like regression to the mean. We talked about this with Mahomes last year. And so I think the point that I made last year with Mahomes, and I would make it again with Lamar Jackson, I expect Lamar Jackson to regress. Okay. Yeah. I expect Lamar Jackson to regress. He's still my number one quarterback because he's so far ahead of everyone else that even if he regresses a decent amount, he's still worthy of being the number one quarterback. The difference is, it's like, how much better is he going to be than Patrick Mahomes or Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson or any of the guys that we expect to be up there at the elite level of the quarterback position? Thirsty Kyle threw this together, and I'll just throw this out real quickly.
Yep.
So Lamar Jackson last year threw a touchdown on 9% of passes,
right?
Nearly double the league average. You think about Mahomes. Mahomes, from 2 years ago to last year, he dipped from 8.6 to 5.4, much closer to league average. Again, so if Jackson declines at a similar rate, his touchdown pass total would go from 36 to 23. Okay. In Michael Vick's best rushing year, he rushed for 24.6 more than his 16-game average with Atlanta. So again, we're trying to take outliers here. But if Lamar Jackson's rushing declines by 24%, he'd still have over 900 rushing yards. In essence, if we just take those numbers, his touchdown rate basically cuts in half. His rushing declines by about 25%. He'd have about 81 fantasy points fewer than he did the year before. He still would have 334 fantasy points this year. That last year would have been QB2. Basically, Deshaun Watson was like 337, but
so that's
what we're talking about.
And that's, again, to hone in on this point. It's not that we don't believe Lamar Jackson will finish as the number one fantasy quarterback this year. Both you and I believe every ranker but one at ESPN has Lamar Jackson as the number one quarterback going into the season.
Who hates Lamar Jackson here?
I don't know.
Eric Carabao.
Eric Carabao.
He has him behind Patrick Mahomes. Thank you for the assist there, Kyle.
Does he have Carson Wentz at one?
He has it behind Patrick Mahomes.
Behind Patrick.
So again, it's just that the difference, the standard deviations between Lamar Jackson and number two quarterback this year might be, you know, here, whereas last year it was a gulf.
Right.
Now, we've established that premise, and regression does not mean regression as a player. It just means in terms of fantasy football points. But let's ask this question. First round. So I'm going to start by round. In a vacuum, standard scoring on ESPN, right. 10 or 12 team league.
One quarterback, so not a quarterback, super flex, not a two quarterback league, right?
Is it? And you have a first round pick. Are you taking him anywhere in the first round?
No.
Okay. Anywhere in the second round?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
Late second round.
Really?
I would, depending if I'm in a 12 team league.
Yep.
Late second round. If he's still there, depending on how the board has gone, like if there's a lot of running backs, like, you know what I mean? Like, again, we've talked about the depth at wide receiver.
Yeah.
So if there have a lot of running backs gone and I'm sitting there with Lamar Jackson or, you know, some, I'm trying to think of like who would be, like, it'd be like
Adam Thielen from yesterday,
Todd Gurley, one of those types. I'll take Lamar Jackson.
So just for reference right now, and things can change on the ADP, he's around 15th overall amongst all positions in terms of ADP right now.
So he's middle of second round.
And although you and I have been hammering the idea of running backs early, on ESPN right now, there is more wide receivers than I think a draft that you and I would be a part of in the top 10 in terms of ADP. So they're probably a little heavier in the wide receiver distribution than you and I would vouch for. So Lamar Jackson, you're comfortable with Lamar Jackson. Let's put a number to it. Like, and I know this is very difficult, but now that we've honed in on the second round, no sooner than pick 18, 20?
Yeah, I mean, I don't love to put a number on it there just because, again, you sort of, every draft
play
is different.
Board. Fair enough.
It depends on who I have in the first round. And it also depends who's on set. Like, so if I have the last pick of the second round, so I know I have two picks, right? And so it depends on who's there. Like, I might use one of my picks on Lamar Jackson, right? If I'm looking around and I'm like, oh, you know what? There's four good wide receivers left. And so I don't need to take one here because I can grab Lamar and I know that
whoever's going to be left when I come back around in the third round, or same sort of thing, right? If I'm like, I want to go running back, but like I get there to the end and David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, and Chris Carson are all available. Now, I like Carson a lot more than those other three guys, but whatever. Like, I'm like, I can live with any one of those four as my number two running back.
Yeah.
And I think it all depends on sort of the league and the level of competition and somewhat of the scoring. There's two things about Lamar Jackson that I think are interesting to sort of talk about here. On the plus side with Lamar is, number one, is keep in mind, last year was the first year in that offense, right? I mean, so, and by the way, think about who he had. Mark Andrews hadn't really played before, right? Marquise Brown coming off of Lisfranc. Like, so, I mean, now he's got all these guys, the pieces are there. However.
But that's the same logic applied to Patrick Mahomes. First year as a starter there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, the first year can be the outlier year. It's just possible.
Oh, sure. But what I'm saying is that in the case of Patrick Mahomes,
yep.
Mahomes had Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. He had veterans there. Like last year, they were all learning on the fly, is my point, right? I mean, it was a brand new offensive system. Patrick Mahomes was in Andy Reid's system that Alex Smith had run the year before. I mean, so, and he'd been there a whole year learning behind Alex Smith. The other piece of this, though, is the flip side of that, which is where I thought you were going, is that now defensive coordinators, like the Ravens came out last year and just, you know, basically, you know, it's the old Mike Tyson quote, right? Everyone has a plan to get hit in the mouth. Like the Ravens came out and just hit people in the mouths with their offensive scheme. Every defensive coordinator that faces the Ravens this year has spent a lot of time this offseason saying like, okay, how can we stop Lamar Jackson in this Ravens offense? They're going to be more prepared for Lamar Jackson, the Ravens this year than they were last season.
All right. So let's get to Kyle for a quick question. I think all your points are well taken there. So Kyle, you have something you wanted to add or ask on Lamar Jackson. What do you got?
Yeah, we're running a little long here. So just a quick answer here would do. You're looking at the mid to late second round and the best player at his position. Do you want Lamar Jackson or Travis Kelce?
Interesting theory right there.
You know what? I'd rather Travis Kelce.
Okay. I think I'm going to lean. Yeah, I'm going to lean Kelce as well. And I would have personally, my point for Lamar, my sweet spot, I know that you don't like to assign a number, but it's closer to 25 for me.
If I'm mid third round for you.
Mid third round. If I'm going to do what you did, which is back end of the second round, it's because I landed a star running back with my first overall pick.
Yeah, listen, if you have the number one overall pick, you get let's say you get McCaffrey.
Sure, him. And,
right? And then
Lamar,
comes
you might
back
have
around
the ingredients.
Right. And by the way, and somehow this wouldn't happen, I don't think, that Kelce and Lamar Jackson were there. But listen,
you never
the number
know.
One quarterback and the number one running back. Like,
You never know.
You know, anyway.
All right, let's move forward from Lamar because, again, he's a star. But right. His running back last year was also a star. Mark Ingram was just incredible last year. He actually finished as the 10th best running back on a points per game basis at 16.17 points per game. But is Mark Ingram still an RB2 consideration this year, Matthew? And is he a better value? His current ADP is running back 25 going in the 8th round. Or is presumptive backup J.K. Dobbins, who's going in the 12th round, is RB39. Let's attack the first part of the equation, which is he still an RB2 for you this year?
Yeah, he is. Look, I mean, like, I'm not the biggest Mark Ingram fan. He's not really used in the passing game this much. He's a little bit too touchdown dependent. Having said that, he's going as running back 25. He's the lead running back on the most efficient and best rushing offense in the NFL. He's had six straight seasons with at least six or more rushing touchdowns. Here's the only other players that have done that since 2001. LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson, Sean Alexander. That's a pretty good list to be on. Like, he's money in the bank for at least six touchdowns, if not more. We expect that. He's averaging almost 5 yards per carry since 2016. Like, to me, running back 25, which is where his ADP is on ESPN, is too low. I get it. He's going to be 31 during this season. I know everyone's excited about J.K. Dobbins, as am I. But he is still the lead running back on one of, if not the best rushing offense in the NFL. And we expect Lamar Jackson to rush at least a little bit less this year, feels like.
I don't have a feel on that. I don't have a feel. I just think that some of his runs are unscripted and some of it is
sure,
just he's so brilliant that I don't know that that's something they have as much control with. So I think I agree with you. Last year, as I mentioned, he was RB10. So if the question was, is Mark Ingram still an RB1? Because that was the fringe of RB1 last year, then I think a lot of us would say, no, he's not. You mentioned the regression and some of the possibilities. And the stat that really stands out is that he had 5 receiving touchdowns last year. on 26 catches. Nearly 20% of his catches resulted in touchdowns. For the record, prior to last year, he had 5 receiving touchdowns in his entire career, and that was on 269 targets. Not catches, but still targets. He was lethal last year as a receiver, and some of those were just walking because so much came easy for the Ravens last year. So I actually think he's being appropriately drafted right now as like a high-end flex play. And for the J.K. Dobbins versus Mark Ingram debate, sometimes we have to see it to believe it with running backs as rookies. Sometimes we just bet on them big, like Saquon Barkley 2 years ago, and he proves to be worthwhile. Where's J.K. Dobbins on that? Because my instinct is this guy's going to be really good. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. I thought he should have been the first overall running back taken in this year's class. Instead, he goes 50th overall. Or is, of these scenarios, Mark Ingram is good, J.K. Dobbins is not fantasy relevant, Mark Ingram is fine, but J.K. Dobbins is better, and third scenario is Mark Ingram has no fantasy value, and J.K. Dobbins has all the fantasy value in this backfield. It feels like the third door is the least likely to happen, right?
Correct. Barring injury.
Barring injury, of course. But you feel like if one of these two players does not have a reliable fantasy role this year, it's more likely to be Dobbins than Ingram.
100%. They really like Mark Ingram in Baltimore.
He's a leader. He's a huge part of their fabric and their DNA. Emotional spark plug. And football skill set, that stuff also does matter to how he's utilized week over week.
100%. Like, Mark Ingram's not losing his job. The argument for J.K. Dobbins is something happens to Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram, who missed a handful of games 2 years ago, we're in a season where COVID-19 is obviously part of the conversation around football. Like, the argument for J.K. Dobbins is that, you know, we're not rooting for this, but should something happen to Mark Ingram where he could not play, the expectation is Dobbins would be the number one running back on, again, one of, if not the best, rushing offenses in the NFL. And we think, based on his college tape, that Dobbins is something special. Yeah. I love Dobbins as a late-round flyer, as he's one of my favorite insurance plays, if you will, this year. But no, I don't think there is a scenario in which Mark Ingram, a healthy Mark Ingram, is suddenly sitting on the bench watching J.K. Dobbins run all over opponents significantly. Remember, everyone was all about Justice Hill last year.
Right. Yeah.
Mark Ingram is in some ways field kind of like Frank Gore. Like, every year people are trying to bury Mark Ingram, and every year Mark Ingram just goes out and proves them wrong. And so the one thing about the receiving touchdowns, which this is curious, right? I agree with you that, you know, that's obviously just a create, you know, one out of every five. Yep. It's completely an outlier. But I do wonder if maybe it doesn't go to zero, that wonder if some of that is because defenses are so busy chasing Lamar Jackson around. Like, you just can't control the guy. The guy is a human video game, right? And so that leaves guys open. You know what I mean? Like, Lamar Jackson's a different quarterback, obviously, than Drew Brees, which is, you know.
Sure.
So
yeah, interesting.
When they get in close. My point is when you're in close against the Ravens, you have to account for more than you did when you played Drew Brees and the Saints.
All right, so let's
is
let's,
that fair?
That is fair. Yeah, there's you have to account for more than just about any offense, maybe except for Kansas City's. Let's get Stefania involved here, because Stefania, we have a couple of players that have injury question marks on this offense, and I'm going to start with Hollywood Brown, who dealt with Lisfranc issues last season. How do you foresee Hollywood Brown's health progress going into year two?
I mean, think last year he didn't even work out at the combine. There was a question as to whether he'd even be ready to start the season. And even though he did start the season, there was some question as to whether he could really go 100% after a fairly significant surgery. You know, in the off season, he had a screw removed. That screw had been bothering him a bit. I talked to him at the Super Bowl. He said his foot was much more comfortable getting that piece of hardware out. He's added some weight in this off season, even reported used a GPS system like they use with the team to make sure that the added weight didn't slow him down. I actually think he can be more productive this year. That foot did hold him back a bit. He still had a solid season, but it was still a factor.
It certainly was. And Stefania, we're going to come back to you in just a few moments. Thank you for that intel. And we're going to talk about Mark Andrews, another player in this Ravens offense, who there have been some question marks surrounding his health. All right, so let's go to Hollywood Brown. Fairly encouraging report from Stefania about him. Matthew, this is where I'm wrestling with this myself as I'm ranking Hollywood Brown. We have a 7-slot difference, you and I do. You have him at wide receiver 31. I have him at wide receiver 38. He's being drafted in terms of wide receivers 32nd right now. Do you believe that Hollywood Brown's going to develop into a weekly starter this season?
I do. I'm actually wondering if I'm too low on him at 31. Okay. Keep in mind. So there's really two paths here for Marquise Brown, for Hollywood Brown. The people that are anti-Hollywood Brown would argue, look, he was insanely efficient. He doesn't get a ton of targets. Like, can he continue that? He's a big play waiting to happen, obviously, but like when he doesn't score a long touchdown, he's not really fantasy relevant. It's just a little bit too up and down, somewhat like DeSean Jackson's fantasy value was for years, where it was just like there's gonna be 4 or 5 huge games this year, but when he doesn't have that 60-yard touchdown catch, there's just not a high floor there. So that's the one argument. The other argument, and this is the one that I'm on the side of, is that last year as a rookie, just, in coming off the Lisfranc and everything like that, he was a guy that showed real flashes. He's the number one wide receiver on one of the best offenses in the NFL, coming into his second year in the NFL, now fully healthy, as we heard Stefania say. And we always talk about this. The biggest leap an NFL player makes is from year one to year two. So, again, like, he's the number one wide receiver on one of the best passing offenses in the NFL, and he's going as wide receiver 32. Like, there may not be a bigger bargain in terms of ADP at the wide receiver position than Hollywood Brown this year.
Yeah, it's, man, I got to tell you, I'm just struggling with it because of the fact that, and I know there have been some people in the fantasy community that have pointed this out. There has, and this may be something that ends up being his hallmark, there's not a large body of evidence that there are a bunch of players with comparable skill sets and physical dispositions to Hollywood Brown that have like top 20 wide receiver seasons consistently under their belt. He's 5'8". I know he's bulked up to 170 pounds, he says, but like, I think he was like, was he 143 pounds at one point coming out of the draft? 143 pounds. Like,
he is, and I don't mean this as an insult, but like, he's built similarly to you. Like, I'm not joking. No, I'm joking.
I'm
I mean,
a
like,
little bit
just
more than 143.
yeah,
we're about.
You've enjoyed a couple of craft beers this summer.
We're about the same weight at 170 some pounds. but yes, you're right. Is it like, and is he too much? Is he too dependent upon the vertical threat in fantasy football, as we've been talking about, just the efficiency, right? Like, is their slot receiver really one of their tight ends, or is it somebody that we'll talk about, some of the ancillary pass catchers, perhaps, that might be on the radar? So, I'm just. We make the comparison in some ways reverentially to DeSean Jackson, and I do wonder if maybe DeSean Jackson is the best comparison for him, which can mean over the course of the season that he's going to end up finishing as a top 20 in terms of raw points fantasy player. But he also may be the guy that one week you're thrilled you started him, and the next week you're saying, why did I fall into that trap again?
Right. But I guess for me, my counterpoint to that would be is, while I understand that, in terms of his physical frame, there's not a lot of evidence to suggest, he's somebody that can be, but I would also argue there's not a lot of evidence for a guy like Lamar Jackson. Like, we're in uncharted territory with his entire offense, with this entire, with the skill set of not just Marquise Brown, but it's also with Lamar Jackson and with that offense. And then you just sort of look around, like, we both like Mark Andrews a lot, but like, in terms of competition for targets, like,
it should be him.
I mean, like, right. Like, Miles Boykin was a nice player in college, and we'll see what happens here. I mean, like, there's not a lot there in Baltimore that you feel like when they're throwing the ball, it's going to one of two guys.
Yeah,
and it's going to Hollywood or it's going to Mark Andrews. Hey, Thirsty Kyle, where is – I know he's going as wide receiver 32. Marquise Brown is going in what round? Give me a couple of wide receivers on either side of Marquise Brown.
Marquise Brown is currently – 1 second here. Sure, this makes for great audio right now.
Awesome. For anyone that's not watching at home, what you can see is Thirsty Kyle
in the bunker.
In the bunker.
I got you.
Typing away. Oh, now you're good.
So he's going in the middle of the 9th round. He's going just after Tyler Boyd and Michael Gallup, just before Julian Edelman and Marvin Jones.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, but like, and those are all nice wide receivers. And so that, two things. Number one is, I love Michael Gallup.
Yeah.
Again, just how deep the wide receiver position is, right? I mean, yep. Boyd is solid.
Marvin Jones is solid. All those guys, Edelman, we expect to be solid. But if you tell me in that list, which one of those guys potentially could be top 10 this year? To me, Gallup is there, but I also think Marquise Brown.
I think Edelman, honestly. Is he that far off from where he's been over the past few years? I mean, is it top 10 wide receiver? Anyways, that's a whole different conversation.
The question is health of Edelman, health of Cam Newton.
Okay. He was
wide receiver 12, I think, on a points per game basis last year.
All right, let's spin this
PPR forward, scoring.
You've talked about it's one of two guys. It's Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews. You want to talk to Stefania about Mark Andrews?
Yes, I will. But before we go to Stefania real quick, the last thing I just want to say there on Marquise Brown, ninth round. Yeah. Like, again, as you're saying, like, I'm worried. Like, to me, he is a bargain in the ninth round. At some point, eventually, I'll write Love Hate. We're having a whole conversation about that as to when that's going to happen. But Marquise Brown's going to be on the love list. I'll tell you guys that. You know who else is on the love list? Always perennially, Stefania Bell, FSWA Hall of Famer. Stefania Bell, Starfania, from her palatial estate somewhere in Connecticut at an undisclosed location to keep her away from the paparazzi. Stefania Bell, there's been a lot of concerns about Mark Andrews, not only from a health standpoint in general, but also in this season that's going to be impacted by COVID-19. What can you tell us about Mark Andrews heading into 2020?
You're right, Matthew. I've gotten a lot of questions about this because Mark Andrews is someone who has type 1 diabetes. And there's a question about whether he's more at risk during this pandemic playing because of the diabetes. And, you know, there's no evidence that he would be more at risk for contracting the virus and developing, the COVID-19 illness. But there may be more risk for severe symptoms if he were to catch it. So all the things that they're putting in place to keep these guys from contracting the disease, Mark Andrews has to be as careful as anyone who might have some other illness that puts them at greater risk. You know, the other thing I want to point out is, you know, he's been dealing with this since he was 9 years old. So he manages it very well. He manages his blood sugars incredibly well. If you look at everything he does during a game and all of that, the fitness from being an NFL player, the way he manages his blood sugar, that would tend to put him at lower risk because he's a healthier individual. As far as the other musculoskeletal injuries he's had, I think if you look at last year, obviously a huge touchdown target and a lot of plays in the red zone, a lot of routes run. But I think some of the limitation as far as his time on the field had to do with the fact he was dealing with foot and ankle injuries that were bothering him for a good chunk of the season. He's recovered from those. I don't think that's an issue this year. So he certainly has the potential to be on the field more than he was last year.
All right, great stuff there from Stefania. As always, we thank you. We'll talk to you again in just a little bit. So let's discuss Mark Andrews, understanding the health considerations there, but sounds, again, all things are looking good. The opt-out date for players is in less than 6 hours as we speak. Can Mark Andrews blossom into a tier one tight end? And I guess the answer really is not, again, it's can he do it consistently going forward? Because last year he was tight end 5, nearly 14 points per game. He's being drafted right now as tight end 4. I have him ranked as tight end 4. You have him ranked as tight end 3, meaning he's ahead of Zach Ertz for you in your ranks. Yes. Is this a player that every year we're going to start to talk about the set it and forget it tight ends, and Mark Andrews is just sitting there waiting for him?
I think so. I do think he's part of the big three. My concerns on Zach Ertz are...
the new member of the big three.
I think he's a new member of the big three. I mean, it's Kelce, it's Kittle, and Mark Andrews for me.
Interesting, yeah.
No, I mean, I still think Ertz is in the tier one.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at some other point.
Right, but I do have... I've had a couple of drafts this year where both Ertz and Andrews have been on the board for me, and each time I've taken Mark Andrews. Look, I think he's a special player. Again, we just sort of talk about... you know, target share, right? I mean, who's the ball going when they throw? And I know so much is made about Lamar Jackson's running. People forget Lamar Jackson led the NFL in touchdown passes last year. People forget. I mean, like, I don't
36,
think,
yeah.
36. So I don't think people sort of realize that because he's so spectacular with his legs that people forget, like, just how good a passing offense the Ravens were last year. So Zach Ertz, I think I have concerns about Dallas Goedert. I know they love, with a capital L, love Dallas Goedert in Philadelphia. And I believe he will be even more involved this year. Plus, they've added, obviously, other receiving weapons in Philadelphia. So I'm concerned about the target share for Zach Ertz. It's narrow, but yes, I have Andrews ahead of him. again, like last year, like he was the guy, he was tied for the most end zone targets in the NFL. He was targeted on over 36% of his routes. That led all players in the NFL. Like, he was second among tight ends in yards per route, third in receptions per route. Like, pick a stat, and Mark Andrews is at the top among all tight ends in all of them. And the question is, do you think that was a fluke? And I don't.
Yeah, I think he's a stud. And that's my very succinct response to your eloquent analysis. I think he's a stud. I don't have any concerns about drafting him. Reminder, they traded away Hayden Hurst, so one less tight end to compete with targets and snaps for Mark Andrews. I'm going to give you my favorite late-round flyer amongst Ravens non-passers we haven't talked yet.
Before we get there, though, just curious, where are you drafting? Because as we sort of talk about, where are you drafting Mark Andrews? Where are you comfortable taking that third tight end?
If
we figure Kelsey, by the end of the second round, Kelsey and Kittle are gone in almost every league.
I think Kittle's going to end up maybe going around 25. I would say middle of the fourth round is where I'm starting to target those next run of tight ends. Andrews Ertz.
Yeah, like
picks
exactly.
30 to 35, somewhere in that range.
I would agree. Somewhere between mid-third, mid-fourth. I think it just depends on sort of how your draft is going.
A late-round player to just do some research on as you are potentially building some sleepers and guys that you might have some interest in is Devin Duvernay, 92nd overall pick this year's draft, and a guy that had over 100 catches for Texas last year, a player that maybe we could see get some slot reps for Baltimore this season. You're talking about who's going to catch passes out of the slot.
Sure.
He might be a guy. Matthew, we're talking about Joe Burrow, and I'm really stoked to talk about him in just 1 second.
Right, but before we get there, I want to talk to you about Geico. Did you know that right now, Field, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Not waiting for your dog to make you breakfast in bed, right? As nice as that sounds, that's probably never going to happen. But if ever there was a dog that was, Cisco could do it. My little Cooper could not at all.
I'm aware.
Cooper would eat my breakfast before he would make me one. Anyway, here's the thing. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Once again, geico.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
So, been thinking about this for a while, Matthew.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to figure out the right way to phrase it. Joe Burrow is coming off of the most historic season by a college football quarterback, I believe, in the history of NCAA football. He brought a certain swagger to LSU that has been so exciting to follow and watch. I love Joe Burrow. If you find someone who doesn't like Joe Burrow, they either root for Alabama or they are not fun. In fantasy football.
And potentially both.
Potentially both.
There are some Alabama fans that are awesome, but there are a few Alabama fans that are not fun.
They're not fun. There is no player this year that I am more tempted to draft than Joe Burrow. And what does that mean, more tempted? Well, of course I'm going to draft Patrick Mahomes in some leagues and Christian McCaffrey if I get the fortune of the first pick, things like that, right? But Joe Burrow is a player that I don't know right now that I'm banking on as a player that I would start right away out of the gate. But I'm super tempted to draft Joe Burrow as a starting quarterback for me coming out of the gates as a rookie this season. Now, I've got him 19th amongst my quarterbacks. You've got him at 20th. He's going undrafted in 60% of leagues. So to be clear, I am admitting that I would be hedging if I did make an investment in Joe Burrow as my starting quarterback right out of the gates, I should say. Tell me why, and because I think I can make the case myself, why should we wait and maybe be patient on Joe Burrow? Is he a draft day target, or should you be saying, you know what, give him a couple weeks, and then we can potentially use a waiver pickup on him?
So I want to give him a couple of weeks because, again, no preseason games,
yep.
14 days of padded practices. He's a rookie quarterback coming into the NFL, and many rookie quarterbacks struggle. You think about Kyler Murray last year. Kyler Murray, who had the fourth best season of a rookie quarterback in fantasy football history, Kyler Murray also started slow. Yep. And he had a full offseason.
So
I'm with you. I think Joe Burrow is a special player, and he is going to be a very special player. I think Cincinnati has a franchise star quarterback, and I'm thrilled for the Bengals franchise. But for me, it's more of a wait and see. Having said that, do I think there is real potential here? I do. Couple things here. First off, just general history, right? Five different times in the last decade, a rookie quarterback has finished top 10 at the position, right? You think about Cam,
yeah.
Think about RG3, you think about Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Andrew Luck. You see it there on your screen right there. And obviously you've got the rushing ability there with some of them and Murray, Griffin, and Newton. But, Andrew Luck was much more of a pocket passer. And Joe Burrow's, by the way, Joe Burrow's got a little bit of
comp for Joe Burrow in a second when you're done.
No, I mean, I'm not saying he's, but I'm just saying the point is that over the last, there is evidence of rookie quarterbacks starting and producing high fantasy numbers in their rookie year. The other thing is you think about the weapons around him, right? So A.J. Green, going to play this year. Tyler Boyd, going to play this year. Joe Mixon and nice pass catching back in Giovanni Bernard.
Sure. Huh?
And T. Higgins was a great draft pick as well, right? They still have John Ross around there.
Sure.
So, there's a lot of actually nice pieces there. Auden Tate, who I think is, as good a fourth wide receiver as there is in the NFL. I like Auden Tate. So, but what I would say is, by the way, their defense is also going to be bad.
So let me once take again, it from here. Pass the baton.
This is a team that's going to have to throw.
So I'm going to take that because I'm going to interrupt you only because
yes,
you're sort of serving me up without realizing you are.
Okay.
Last year, and I might have this stat off by a couple of weeks here, from weeks 8 through 17, I believe it was. Maybe it was 9 through 17. Daniel Jones, in terms of points per game, was the 6th best quarterback in fantasy football. I may have read that from 100 Facts. And if I'm off by a week or two, I apologize. But the point was, there was a prolonged stretch last year where Daniel Jones was a top 6 fantasy quarterback.
Yeah.
For on a points per game basis.
Yeah.
Basically,
it was top 5. Yeah.
Basically, all the things that worked in Daniel Jones' favor are working in Joe Burrow's favor right now.
Right.
Outstanding supporting cast of weapons. You just talked about all the guys that are catching passes from him. A bad defense, a pass heavy offense, a quarterback that's got plenty of skill himself. And to be clear, I think Joe Burrow's more talented than Daniel Jones in terms of raw ability. And enough mobility to run some as well.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow had 368 rushing yards last season. A reminder that in college, they actually take away rushing yards from a quarterback on sacks. So if you have 100 yards of sacks lost, then those are things that are going to be taken against your rushing total. So Joe Burrow is a player that I'm super excited about. Now, I'm tempted, but I think you're right, Matthew. Because of the depth of quarterbacks, I do believe there's a chance that we need to be looking at Joe Burrow much more as an in-season waiver ad as opposed to a guy that you're immediately drafting and using as your starting quarterback.
But the other piece of it is whenever you have a quarterback change and you have a rookie quarterback, the question becomes like, okay, how is this going to affect Tyler Boyd? How is this going to affect A.J. Green? And I think you and I both feel like Joe Burrow is going to be good enough from the get-go,
yep,
just his skill set, that we're not concerned that much about A.J. Green or Tyler Boyd in terms of their fantasy production this year.
So I feel like what I'm doing here in discussing the Bengals is maybe being a little bit too sort of like, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here. But I think Joe Mixon is the most undervalued player
in
fantasy football right
okay.
now. So he's being drafted as RB14, which doesn't sound that far off from where you have him ranked at 8, I have him at 11, Daniel has him at 9. He was RB20 last year, 14.09 points per game. And maybe the most undervalued is too strong of a statement, but he is being undervalued right now. We talk about, you said talent and opportunity, the two things that matter in fantasy football most.
100%, yep.
Everybody accepts that Joe Mixon is a really talented guy. His workload is also perhaps overlooked. And Kyle, credit to him, of course, for compiling these stats. Just a few samplings from here to illustrate how much of a workhorse Joe Mixon is for the Bengals. 10th in terms of carries per game last year. 13th in terms of total yards per game. But more importantly, since the beginning of 2018, he's getting 20 touches per game. He sat out weeks 3 and 4 of 2018. So once he returned from that injury, he has accounted for 72.3% of Cincinnati's rushing attempts. That's more than any other player in that stretch. Since the beginning of 2018, only Ezekiel Elliott has more games than Joe Mixon with at least 15 carries plus a reception. Over the past two seasons, there are just two players that have at least 230 carries and 30 catches in each of those seasons. Again, Ezekiel Elliott and Joe Mixon. He's a workhorse who has been limited because touchdowns have been harder to come by because Cincinnati was playing with substandard quarterback play last year, no A.J. Green, a bad offensive line. I think Joe Burrow's a quarterback upgrade. A.J. Green, clearly a wide receiver upgrade. Other wide receiver upgrades. And an offensive line that won't be great, Matthew, but it will be better. I think there's a chance that Joe Mixon is being undervalued, maybe in a significant way right now, in terms of being drafted at ADP, in terms of running backs, ADP of 14th overall. Any major disagreement?
I don't have any disagreement. I mean, I'm the highest on him of the three of us, right? I have him at 8. I think people are down on Joe Mixon because he was so brutal at the start of last year.
Yeah.
And he wasn't getting a lot. I mean, he was getting like 12 touches, everything like that. But once Andy Dalton took back over, they went back to using him as a bell cow. Actually, once they made a quarterback switch, they were using him as a bell cow. Yep. For whatever, it was weird, but like they were only giving him like 12 touches a game. But then over the final part of the game of the season last year, they were using him in a significant way. Like 4 rushing touchdowns in his final 5 games of 2019. Here's the only players in the NFL with at least 230 carries and 30 catches these the last 2 years. Ezekiel Elliott, Joe Mixon, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just right, as you said.
Totally, yeah.
Right? And so, I mean, I just think that's an amazing stack that needs to be underlined a few times here. So I am as a top 8 running back. We expect their offensive line to be better. We expect their whole offense as a whole to be better, to be more efficient, to be in scoring position here. My only question for you, and I want you to put on your NFL insider hat here, Field, is there any concern about Joe Mixon holding out? Because there were a few rumblings about that.
Yeah. So the Dalvin Cook situation that we discussed a couple of days ago on the show, I think has maybe there's more concern there. But and again, not to get too far into the weeds, but for NFL players this year with the new CBA, it has become decidedly more difficult to hold out of training camp and then potentially miss games as well. So I am not so worried about Joe Mixon. Let's get Stefania back in the mix here because, Matthew, I don't know that there's a bigger question mark in terms of injuries over the past two seasons than A.J. Green in fantasy football. So, Stefania, I ask you, A.J. Green signed his franchise tag tender. He's back. He is practicing. Are you concerned about A.J. Green's health going into 2020?
It would be silly to not have a little concern, Field, right? Because if you think about what the last 2 years have been like, they haven't been kind to AJ Green when it comes to health. Obviously, he missed all of last season, but let's not forget he was coming off a toe surgery that caused him to miss half of the prior season. And then in training camp last year, injured his ankle. And I think what made it more frustrating, not only for the Bengals and AJ Green himself, but for fantasy players, is that you kept hearing that he was working out, that he looked really good. I think there was even one week where he was maybe, you know, it was came right down to the day before the game or the game that they decided to hold him back because he had a little bit of swelling in his ankle. And I think what that reflects is the delicate nature of these joint injuries that you can feel really good and then they can flare up any time. Now the off-season rest and the workouts that he's done, nobody works harder, I think have put him in a really good position for this year. Zach Taylor said back in April that he was fully healthy and he was working hard. I actually think AJ Green could surprise us all and have a fantastic season, but there are the unknowns of playing with a new quarterback. Like I said, we haven't seen him on the field since I believe it was week 9 in 2018. And so it's going to be a little bit of wait and see, but if we can get the AJ Green that we saw in 2017, that's a Pro Bowl player. So yes, he comes with more risk, but I think he has the potential to flash the talent of the AJ Green that we last saw when he was playing regularly.
Great stuff as always, Stefania, and certainly that's some good news surrounding AJ Green. Matthew, there are two parts of this discussion, and one of them is pretty straightforward. Is AJ Green worth the risk? Now, the second part, and I think these sort of tie together, is I don't normally like to ask you or anybody, hey, if you're choosing between these two players on the same team, which do you prefer? Because why do you have to choose between them? However, because the ADP for A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd is so similar this year, and A.J. Green's ADP right now is wide receiver 29, Tyler Boyd's wide receiver 30. So in this case, you may very well be making the choice between A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd. So let's start here. How much of a risk do you view A.J. Green as? And then do you prefer him or Tyler Boyd if you had to choose one of the two going into the season?
So I have Tyler Boyd ranked 30th. I have A.J. Green 32. So obviously, by my ranks, I prefer Boyd. That said, it depends again on everything is just sort of about how you value your team and how you're constructing your roster, right? So and your league rules. If I have extra IR spots, I might be more willing to take a flyer on A.J. Green, who I think is the more talented wide receiver. And I think if both guys play all 16 games, I think A.J. Green finishes with more fantasy points than Tyler Boyd, right?
Yeah.
But the question with Green, obviously, of course, is always health. If I'm doing more of a higher upside team, right? Or if I feel like, it just depends on sort of when I get to that point in the draft, do I need more solid production or can I swing for the fences a little bit more? If I'm swinging for the fences a little bit more, it's A.J. Green. If I'm just like, you know what, I just need a solid guy that I can start every week, to me, it's Tyler Boyd.
Okay, fair enough. So, I do want
to
introduce...
But I have them right close to each other, obviously.
Sure, yeah, and I want to just illuminate a couple of things on A.J. Green that are different this year compared to last year, and they're not health-related, is that last year with A.J. Green... there was frustration and sort of discontent surrounding his contract and wanting a new one and realizing that he probably wasn't going to get one. Right. The Bengals were obviously downtrodden all year last year. His close personal friend, Andy Dalton, gets benched. I mean, it's like one of his best friends, I think, in the world. It's like getting benched. Like, right. There was a lot of factors working against A.J. Green returning last year. And I'm not – he wasn't fudging an injury.
If you ever got benched, Field Yates, I want you to know that I would sit out the year with an injury.
I appreciate
you doing that.
Right, but not to suggest that he's actually – he wasn't fudging an injury. But I would just say that there are times where a player –
I'm not accusing him of anything. I'm just letting the world know
talk about
me
this.
Personally. I would fake one.
Right, but I'm saying, like, guys have the right. Like, if they're close to a contract or something, that, like, if they want to wait and preserve their body, like, we get that. That's fair. Christian McCaffrey's out of a bowl game, like, because he wanted, and it was a great, he's a trailblazer, right? Yeah. Guys have to make business decisions sometimes. This year, I think it's a different mentality for A.J. Green. He's 1 year away from getting paid, as he was last year, but now he realizes, if he doesn't play this year, what team is going to say, all right, it is like, hey, let's sign A.J. Green after 2.5 years away from football to a lucrative deal at the age of 32. They're not going to do that. A.J. Green is motivated this year to realize he has a chance to go ahead and make that money that he will only get one more time in his career. He's 32. You don't get long-term contracts for a wide receiver at the age of 35 or 36. So I am more confident in A.J. Green this year by a wide margin than I was going into last season. And that's coming from somebody who drafted A.J. Green in the War Room League.
Yeah, he did not help you out in that league. He did not help you and Matt Harrington out at all.
Not at all.
But yeah, I don't disagree. And so, right, you have A.J. Green higher than Boyd by two spots. We're flip-flop there. Again, it's just sort of like, but even with, he's still a risk. I'm with you. Like,
totally.
Is he going to try to tough it out? And like, he's got a different mindset, of course. But this is a guy that's missed a lot of time over the last few years. And he is 32 years old.
And I get it. And we play this game with emotion. And I understand the people that say, you know what? For the past couple of years, I've been burned by A.J. Green. I'm not doing it again this season.
Having said that, if he stays healthy, he's been a top 17 fantasy wide receiver in points. When he plays, he's great.
He is a beast. Stefania, anything else that you want to add in here on the injury front for A.J. Green or Tyler Boyd? Otherwise, we just want to say thank you for the A-plus analysis as always.
No, I think you guys are echoing pretty much my thoughts on A.J. Green as well. I'm just personally rooting for him because there aren't many guys who rehab harder than he does. And he looked phenomenal for the few plays we saw him in training camp last year before he got hurt again.
Stefania, you're the best. We thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Hopefully you continue to have power in your home during that time. Before we wrap up the Bengals, Matthew, of the non-A.J. Green / Tyler Boyd pass catchers, T. Higgins, any of those guys, just 10 seconds. You have a late round flyer you like?
The only flyer I like is just in dynasty leagues. I just want to bring up Travion Williams.
Okay.
Led the SEC in rushing.
Yeah.
Gig'em Aggies, Texas A&M. I think he's a very talented running back, and that if Joe Mixon were to move on after this year, I think they, just talking with some people around the Bengals organization, they like Travion Williams quite a bit. He didn't get on the field very much last year,
But he's a talented running back, and just a name to file away for dynasty leagues. And I like T. Higgins as well, but I think he's, again, there's only so many mouths to feed.
Well, and for dynasty, if AJ Green does walk after this year, he'd be an interesting name to keep an eye on.
He would certainly be. Do you have any interest at all in CJ Uzomah with Tyler Eifert moving on?
I do not.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, the tight end spot, you know, they drafted Drew Sample last year in the second round. Not particularly interested in either of those players. All right, hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, where businesses can connect with qualified candidates. Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a new game artist to grow with her education tech company. But then she switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. And you can, too, by signing up for free, at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. By using ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter candidates, Gretchen found it easier to focus on the best ones and then find the right one. In fact, after posting her job on ZipRecruiter, Gretchen said she was honestly surprised she found qualified applicants so quickly and hired a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, try ZipRecruiter for free. You can go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
We pass the baton now over to our good friend, Kyle Soppe.
Hey, before we do that, you know, we used to, and Secret Scroll's not here, but like we normally used to do a crappy promo.
Not familiar with that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just want to mention that rotopass.com is back. And if you use the promo code 06010, you get 10% off. It's many great sites for one low price, including ESPN Plus. You get a full year of ESPN Plus. So it's absolutely worth it. You get to watch the fantasy show with Matthew Berry. You get to a lot of Mike Clay stuff as well. Anyway, check it out.
It is a great deal.
It is a great deal. Tools, alerts, everything you need to dominate your league. Check it out. Rotopass.com and use the promo code 06010 for 10% off. Thirsty Kyle, what have you got?
Well, one more promo, by the way. At Field Yates on Twitter is now offering 10% off as well for all new followers. So if you want hopefully humorous content, sometimes informative and often annoying content, come find me.
Field
on Twitter
is very good on Twitter. Yates. I will absolutely vouch for that. You were very good on Twitter.
All right,
Thirsty Kyle is hit or miss on Twitter.
I do the best I can. I try to live up to Field. You know, I got a few years. I'm a little younger than Field. I'll learn. I'll get there.
Yeah. You'll learn.
Matt tagged us on Twitter at Fantasy Focus. He wants to know who's the lead back in Tampa Bay.
This is a hilarious question. It's a serious question, but it's hilarious. And I know that you can speak to why this is hilarious, because yesterday, Bruce Arians came out strong, supporting Ronald Jones. Yeah. He's the guy. Everybody else is fighting for a job.
Yeah.
And Matthew, should we believe him?
No, and I want to give a shout out. I'm trying to.
This is why I know you.
Yeah,
knew.
Exactly. A woman that I follow on Twitter, Michelle Magdziak. Sorry, Michelle. I'm sure I just messed up your last name. But at Ball Blast'em. So Michelle posted a very funny bunch of screenshots of Bruce Arians talking up Ronald Jones last year.
Okay,
like 5 different tweets about Ronald Jones in different interviews last year of Bruce Arians again talking up Ronald Jones. And so it's just all very. Take it with a grain of salt. We've said this before. The lead back in the Tampa Bay backfield is going to be who Tom Brady trusts the most, and we don't know who that is yet.
Yeah.
That's bottom line. When Tom says that's who I want back there, that's who's going to be back there, and we don't know who that is yet.
Kyle.
But if I was drafting today, I think Rojo's probably the best flyer at the moment.
Yeah, but I'm not making a major investment. Too many good wide receiver options.
100%.
Jay wants to know how safe you feel in Saquon as the number 2 overall player ahead of the more consistent Zeke.
I mean, they're both studs.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm safe. Sure, it's safe. Yeah, I mean, I guess, Jay, I have Saquon number 2. I think we saw rock bottom for Saquon last year, and he's still on a points per game basis, was like a top 12 player at the position. So I feel it's a very, very safe selection. I think there's more upside as well for Saquon than Zeke, only because although Zeke is a great pass catcher too, the Giants may need Saquon to have 91 catches like he did as a rookie.
I am high on the Giants offense as a whole this year, especially relative to ADP. Saquon's obviously the only exception there, but I believe Daniel Jones, I believe Sterling Shepard, Evan Engram, Golden Tate, Darius Slayton, they're all values at current ADP right now. Saquon's going to get a massive workload once again. He's an insanely talented running back, and it's going to be a good offense that's going to be throwing because, once again, they will be down. I don't think their defense has improved very much. What else do you have?
All righty, we're taking a look at auction leagues now. We're wondering if you're going stars and scrubs in 2020 or because of the COVID, the health concerns, are you going more of a balanced approach when building your lineup?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my usual approach, which is more stars and scrubs. How about you?
Same thing. Again, replacement value. After you get at a certain level, like if I was approaching a salary cap league like that, what I would do is I would want to spend up big for running backs. I would be okay. I would either spend a lot to get one of the elite tight ends or go cheap at the tight ends. I would probably spend to get one good wide receiver, and then I'd be like, okay, there's going to be a couple of $5 wide receivers or something like that, depending on your budget, that I could be absolutely fine with. And quarterback, I would go cheap as well.
Yeah, I think the issue with going more balanced approach in general in auctions is pretty simple. You don't really get to target the people you want to target because you're sort of waiting for everybody else to, you know, use the majority of their spendings on players that you probably like, right? You're not going to get Saquon Barkley with taking a balanced approach. You're not going to get Michael Thomas with taking a balanced approach. It may be that you're going to be sort of choosing from players that you view as tier two and tier three fantasy options this year, and you just have to decide if you can settle with that. So, as always, I tend to go stars and scrubs.
Right, because the elite guys are what win it for you. After you get past a certain level, they're all sort of the same. The difference between, again, as we sort of just pointed out, right, the difference between a wide receiver that's going at 15 and a wide receiver that's going at 35 might be like somebody like Tyler Boyd, like, isn't that much. So, yeah.
All right, Kyle, one more here.
Yeah, we got the last question from Chris. He wants to know, who do you have as the wide receiver one in Houston this season and why?
I'm going to say the number one wide receiver, again, it just sort of depends on sort of draft philosophy. Will Fuller, to me, is the guy with the most upside. And so if when you get to that point in your draft, you're sort of swinging for the fences a little bit. So Will Fuller would be the guy for me. But don't be surprised if it's Brandon Cooks, who I think is really interesting. Brandon Cooks obviously had a lost season in Los Angeles, but he's a guy that had four straight 1,000-yard season. I think people are forgetting, especially because he's moved around a lot in his NFL career for some reason, but Brandon Cooks has been a very effective NFL player throughout the majority of his NFL career.
He is bizarre. He's Tobias Harris of the NFL. He is good enough that a lot of teams want him, but he's not good enough that teams absolutely have to keep him. This is reminding me of the Bengals question we just had.
Yeah.
AJ Green or Tyler Boyd, and I agree with your assessment there. You're swinging for the fences, Will Fuller. If you're looking for solid and steady, the answer is Brandon Cooks. We are going to have some fun here, so we're going to go to trivia right now. However, we have whiteboards now so we can answer these questions anonymously, and that way we're not having to sort of like speak into the microphone. We're going to write really, really big, so hopefully people can see this, but I'm going to hand the question over now to Kyle to ask away.
Yeah, you guys can't cheat. Don't look at what you're writing. You know, give me your answer here. Hollywood Brown had 46 catches and 7 touchdown receptions as a rookie last season. Can you name for me the only other active wide receiver that had a season like that, 46 and at least 7, as a rookie?
No more than 46 catches, is that correct?
Correct. And at least 7 receiving scores.
Dang it, I know this too. I feel like I really do.
I think I know this. This is one of these things where I'm almost positive I have it wrong. And as soon as I'm told the answer, I'm like, yes, I knew that. I'm with you. Like, I know the answer here. And I think I'm wrong.
I remembered this question being posed differently.
Yes.
Are you ready for your reveal or no?
I'm ready for my reveal. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. I'm going with Will Fuller. The fifth.
Wow.
Camera three. Will Fuller the fifth.
And I am going with John Brown. Smokey Brown.
Ooh, good answer right there by Matthew. Kyle, what say you?
I say both of you are wrong. You're doing well, but I think that gives me 2 days where neither one of you have gotten anything right, and you've both split the other days.
Oh,
do you have second?
Fiddlesticks.
You know who it is, don't you?
It's Anthony Miller.
I knew that.
And we talked about Anthony Miller yesterday, and I knew, and I didn't bring it up, but I knew that like he had 8 touchdowns his rookie year, right?
I believe he had seven.
33 catches, 7 touchdowns. John Brown, not a bad guess. 48 catches, so just over the threshold, and 5 touchdowns. So he was just over on both.
How about Will Fuller? How far off was I?
Will Fuller was, I think he had about 10 catches too many, which is weird for Fuller, many catches.
Close enough. All right.
We both made good guesses.
Yeah, I like this. I enjoy this part. 9 interruptions for Matthew.
9 interruptions, Haley tells me.
Well done.
There you go.
It's pretty good by you. I'm so proud. Tomorrow, we have a big show again. We continue with the AFC North, and we have the Steelers and not cool Keith's Cleveland Browns. Should be a very exciting show because as much as we got fooled by the Browns last year, I am excited about what the Browns have this upcoming season.
A lot of intrigue with both of those teams as well. Totally. New episode of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus is streaming now, so please check that out. We had a lot of fun. We worked on that hard yesterday, so please check that out. Draft Day Manifesto, I'm told, dropping this weekend.
All righty.
A very rare Saturday drop.
For the Draft Day Manifesto. Can't wait already.
Anyway, it'll be out on Saturday is what I'm told. So
he is Matthew Berry, TMR, on all forms of social media, except for the Fantasy Life app. He's just Matthew Berry. I'm Field Yates. Talk to you guys on Friday.
2-1. Peace out! Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jail bait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.